Well, today I have a title here, and I believe God will speak to us with regard to this. And the title is, We Are Learning to Fly Now. We are learning to fly now. Very interestingly, over the weekend, having fellowship with brothers and sisters, and we've been talking on and off about the eagle and the way the eagle flies. And I've been taking that on board, with that confirming what the Lord was, I believe, revealing to me this week with regard to that magnificent creature, that bird, the royal bird, that flies free in the sky. And I'm very interested in birds of prey, and particularly in the life and nature of an eagle. But taking this over to us, the overcomers, the Lord was revealing to me, we are learning to fly now. And that is why things seem different. That is why things don't seem to be like they were. And they never will be. Because everything that you have experienced, everything up until now, today, this moment, is actually history. It's gone. It's past. And we can dwell over it and mull over it, lust over it, wish it was back. Things don't seem like they used to be, and so on. And we all contemplate, we all think about it, we all get upset about it, and so on. But the point is, you can never bring it back. That is the point. And do you know something? That is so wonderful. Are there things in your life and my life that you want to relive again? That you want to go over again? Are there things in your life that you want to regurgitate? When you think about it, in this walk with Christ and meeting him every day with new manner, new experiences, it starts to make the past so futile. What do we want to go back to the past for? When it is history? And it will never be the same. And you know, you see in culture, in life, where they want to revive the past. And when they do it, they say, oh, we've had a good time, but it's not really the same. And you have got believers, you have got Christians, who are crying out for revival. We want the past. We want those past revivals, those past experiences. We want to see those healings and deliverances. And yes, there's nothing wrong with that. But who wants the past? That is the point. When we're now in the age and time of restoration, when God is restoring. When the disciples asked that in Acts 2, when will you restore the kingdom? He said, not yet, but it will come. And as you see me go, so you will see me come in like manner. And with that, he was taken up into the clouds, into glory, on that last final revelation and message, which the church seems utterly blind to. And he said, that is how I will return. And I will restore the kingdom. For he is the great restorer. And so in order for the kingdom to be restored, like those eagles, we now are beginning to learn to fly. Which means that we have to come out of the nest. Because the nest is comfortable. In the nest we're fed, we're looked after, we're nurtured. Every provision is there. But the problem being is, of course, those young eagles, those chicks, will never really learn what it is to be an eagle. They will never experience their nature unless they learn to fly and to soar in the heights of the heaven. And so because you have received a new nature, you are a new creation in Christ. The old has gone, it's past. And that's why the enemy tries to bring back the past. He tries to get you lusting after the past. But thank God Christ has overcome. And when you look at it, what do you want with the past? You don't. And so with that new nature, the new creation that you are, like those eagles, you are being prepared, you are being trained to fly. And so we're now in the flying process. We're now taking to the air, and it is quite different. And it's no good harping back on the past and that old nest has served its purpose, but it is not really what you are created for, and that is the point. And there has to come a time when we start to fly and eventually move out of the nest. And when you remain in that nest, there are two major hindrances that can restrict you. There are two major hindrances which I want to look at. And the major hindrance is that you are still held to that nest. And so, looking at that nest, you will see eventually with that nest that you will outgrow the nest. You see, the nest is designed and built for the size of those birds. It is not built for those birds in which to live in. And you will note and see that when the parents come to feed, the parents can't actually get into the nest. They're in there and they're feeding them. So we see the nature of the nest is for the young, for the infants. It is not for adults. And the interesting thing, of course, about eagles are that once they pair for life. And not only that, but they always go back and use often the same nest in which they used a year before. And so what they do with those nests each year is interesting, that those nests actually get bigger because they add more to them. And some of them can be over 3 meters in size eventually, these nests. But it's still in the center where they lay the eggs. It's still just that confined space, you see. And so there the nest can only suffice just for a season. And it is the same with us. God so birthed us, brought us in, the young brings us into the body of Christ. And in the experience, you find after a time, God is working with you and preparing you because he's showing you that the nest is not where God wants you. That is preparatory. It is a stepping stone into something greater because you are going to learn to fly. We know, don't we, that, and I'll read it later, how God wanted to preserve and keep Israel. And to be like the eagle as she comes down, as the eagles start to fly and they flutter, and she comes down and she catches them on her wing. And so God does the same with us. Because when you start to learn to fly, you make mistakes. You make mistakes. And boy, have we not, over the last 2 years, when I look at it, there have been more mistakes going on in this assembly than I've ever seen ever in the period of its time. And I ask myself, what is this? What's going on? And I'll tell you why. Because now some are starting to get out of the nest and fly. And fly. And you see, God makes the conditions of that nest unbearable in the end. As you know, they start to take away all the comforts that are in that nest. And so it becomes very prickly. It doesn't become comfortable anymore. And so that is a means and a way in which they get the birds out of the nest to start to fly. And these are all transitional experiences that we have with the Lord. Now, the wonderful thing about all of this is that for these transitional experiences, where God is getting us now out to start to fly, he says, "My grace is sufficient for you." Because he knows we're going to make blunders. He knows that. Because that's what it's all about. You're starting to learn to fly. And so the second thing about all of this is that you are fed by the parents. And often they lay up 2 eggs, sometimes 3, not a lot, but invariably probably only one ever survives. And one of the young chicks will be the one that will try to get all the food. And sometimes even a chick as it grows will kill the other one just to get all the food to survive. And so you find then in the nest the one that is chosen to fly and the one that is not. And it comes right back, doesn't it, to predestination and election. You have to be birthed. You have to be chosen. The nature has to be put into you to be that spiritual eagle. And if you find yourself in the nest, and you're not ultimately called for that nest, that you destroy yourself. And that is why, sadly, some do fall to the wayside. Sometimes we find in the house of God, in there the wheats and the tares. And in that due season and time, when God reaps, then you see there's the division. Why? Because in nature, some of them are not eagles. And because they're not eagles in nature, therefore they will never glorify God. God sets us into the house of God to glorify his name. And anything that will not glorify his name, God has to move from his sight. That is the sovereignty of God. And that's the side of it sometimes we find a bit difficult. But that is God. And let God be God and all men liars. And so he feeds us, the same as the parents will come and feed that bird. But there comes a point when that bird's got to start to feed for itself. And the reason being is because the parents, they have a life. And can you imagine what it would be like to start feeding an adult eagle with that appetite? Well, they'd be utterly exhausted. No, they start to feed themselves. And as we were talking about this, something that I didn't know, that a bird of prey, particularly an eagle, knows exactly what it's eating and to the amount that it eats as well. And it has a great sensitivity and understanding to its weight. Because if it's just over its weight, then it can't fly. And so for that bird to fly like it does, it has to know instinctively in nature the weight that it carries in order to be able to go as high as it does. And that's why you see those that have these falconries, they have to know just how much to feed these birds, because if they start overfeeding them, they're just up in the trees, they're on the perch there, and they'll just stay there and they won't fly. And that is not good for an eagle. That's not in its nature. You see, it's not in your nature. And that's why you see, you knew you weren't going to be flying in other places where you were, in those other churches where you're being fed those dead denominational teachings, where you just know instinctively, I'm not going to grow here. There's things not right. They're not feeding me right. This isn't doing me any good. And so the same with those eagles. They're fed exactly as they should be. And of course, they will feed themselves. And they know exactly what they want. They know exactly where to go. And they know exactly what to get. You see? And it's exactly the same with us. So our feeding that we are given by the Holy Spirit is delicate, is absolutely perfect. It's exactly what you require and need for each day to survive and to live like those eagles. Isn't it amazing the analogies that you can draw from nature? And then we come, secondly, I've spoken about the nest, the conditions of the nest. Like with the nest, we're under tutors, pedagogues, being taught, encouraged, nurtured. And then secondly, there comes the flying. And the flying is the sons of God that are matured into adulthood, as Galatians speaks of. And so they learn to fly. And they start to learn to fly with the parents. The parents are absolutely instrumental in the birds starting to fly. Because they learn from that. They learn to catch their prey from the parents. They emulate them. So here we are again. Who is the one that we emulate? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus, he flies. He's out of the nest. He's risen from the dead. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father. Yet we're told that he was born, conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was nurtured and brought up. He learned through the things that he suffered and so on. He was prepared, filled by the Spirit of God, prepared by his Father. And he was brought to that place where, like those eagles, he too was to mature and fly. He's the forerunner that's gone before to prepare the way. And so he's preparing us, like him, to walk like Jesus as well. And who do we copy? Who do we learn from? Ultimately, we learn from him. And the devil has tried to stop so many Christians around the world from learning from Jesus. The devil doesn't want you to learn from him. He'll try and keep you in bondage so that man has become your head, so that the elders control you, so all you're really ever looking at, instead of really looking fully to Jesus, the one who's going to teach you to fly, instead you're looking to man who's bound, ridden, earthbound. You can't learn from that. And that's how the enemy has held the church for centuries. And that is why the church so much today doesn't know anything about flying, soaring high in the sky, which is its discernment, learning, understanding, sensitivity of the Spirit, hearing what the Spirit is saying. That's all part of that high flying. They don't have that. The utter confusion that is to be found in so many churches is so alarming. But here we are being taught to fly. And the other thing that's so interesting as well, that when these eagles learn to fly, you will not see them flying or being taught to fly in cities, in towns, in villages. Oh no, they learn to fly out in the wilderness, out in the open, where there are the hills and the mountains, where's the big open space. That is where they learn to fly. And where you learn to fly is God calling you out into the wilderness. Because that is the only place where you can fly. And that's why God called Israel out into the wilderness, because he said, that is where I can teach you to fly. You'll never fly in Egypt, in Babylon. Never will. You only fly out in that wilderness. Why the wilderness? Because the nature of an eagle, and its wingspan is quite large. Its wingspan can be over 2 meters, can be almost up to 7 feet. And that is a big bird in flight in the air. So like big birds, they need a huge expanse to be able to just be taken around on the thermals as they are. And so likewise with us, God brings us out into the wilderness, because it's not only in the wilderness where you learn to fly, but it's in the wilderness where you learn to begin to see how big God is. That He's bigger than your life, your trials. He's bigger than your church. He's bigger than what man tries to build and all his Tower of Babels. There's no beginning, no end with God. And that is where you learn. And that's where you just begin to get a glimpse of the greatness and the magnitude and the size of God. But not only that, in those huge expanses and out in the wilderness, you can also go high as well. And so the height is important. And the overcomers are the ones who are going higher with God than the rest of them, because the others just don't want to come. Doesn't mean to say that they can't potentially go high with God. Everyone has the potential. Everyone born again, filled with the Spirit, can go as high as they want with God, but not all want to. That's the point. But if you've got that eagle spirit within you, there's something says, I'm going to fly high. I'm going to go as high as I can get. And they do. Eagles can go so high that they go out of human sight. Do you know, you can often be looking up on a clear summer day and they're flying up there, but you can't see them because they're so high. But they're up there, just gliding, being taken by the thermals. And do you know, they can go, as far as I'm aware, they can go up a couple of miles up in the air, if not higher. But you know, right up there, their eyes can see right down a rabbit for prey. That high. You'd never be able to see it, but they can see it. And when they're ready, their lunch is brought for them, and all they've got to do is swoop down and get it. Swoop down and get it. It's provided. And they see it. And so, being out in that expanse, being that eagle, what does God do to you? Not only can you fly, but He gives you that sight to be able to see. And what are those eyes that are be able to see? To see God. That you're closer to Him. You're seeing more of Him than those that are still stuck down in the valleys, groping around, frustrated. Why don't we see God? And why doesn't God do this? And why doesn't it? Well, all you've got to say, come and fly up here with me, then you can see for yourself. Because that's what it's about. We can go, that's why it's the deeper life in the Spirit. You can go as far, as deep as you want with God. And so, the baptism of the Spirit, that going on deeper with God, is in order that we see more of Him. God is revealing more of Himself to us today. If you're open to hear it, He's showing us more. Because we're flying higher, you see. And He uses these analogies. And so right as high as they are, they've got this wonderful view and can look down. And it's always different when you're high up there and you look down. It always looks different than when you're stuck right in it. That's why, you see, friends, you don't want to get caught up in it. That's why you don't want to get caught up in the world. You don't want to get caught up in its ways. And you know why? Because God's put it in your heart to fly higher than that. And that's why something says to you, I don't belong to this. I'm not going to get caught up in all this strife and all that goes on. I wasn't saved for this. And so what do? You get away from it. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean things, it says in Corinthians. Why? Since you fly. You can get above it. You fly over it. Why, it's all going on down there. There's something about when you fly, you know. I just often sometimes when I'm flying, you're right up there, you know, 38,000 feet, and you're just looking down and you're just going all over it. And sometimes I think to myself, gosh, we're flying all over this land. We're flying over all that strife, all that trouble, all that bickering, all that arguing, all that traffic and everything. I'm way, way above it, you know, and that's all going on down there. You could, whatever it is, what life is, you're flying right over it. There's a spiritual analogy to it. And that's what we're to do spiritually, by faith. That's why we enter into that rest of faith, as it speaks of in Hebrews. And so God said to Israel in Exodus 19:4, how I wished you'd have borne upon my wings as I came down to give you rest, to protect you, but you wouldn't. Look at that wonderful analogy. And that's exactly what she does. They come down because they virtually throw them out the nest. If they don't move, all they've got to do is get those old wings going, and they can't stay in there any longer. And it's like a hurricane, and out they topple. And they fall, they're like this, and down she comes, she swoops. And just as it looks like they're going to hit the ground, under the wing, catches them and takes them back up into the nest and says to them in that eagle language, that was your first flight. What do you think of it? Oh, think of it, it was worse than a roller coaster. And that's the same with us. That's why I come back to this title, We're Learning to Fly. And some of you have taken your first flight. You know, you're feeling a bit sick, you know, and you think, oh, praise God, I'm back in the nest. That was an experience, that was, but you're not staying there long because you've got to be out again. And we're going to have another go. But you see, what's happening is those wings that God has given you, the huge expanse of them, are now beginning to work. And so if you had your maiden flight and you made a bit of a crash landing of it and everything, and you had some help, but the second time you go out, you're going to find that, wow, there's something about these wings that I didn't know at first. They're actually, they do work, don't they? And so there's the faith being quickened by that first flight. And so we begin to experience just what God has actually given us. Those huge wings to take me, to take me up to heights that, you know, we've not known before. And that is why I believe before the Lord Jesus comes, the greater works are that those wings that God has given to the church are going to take, the church is going to go to heights that God has always wanted her to go. Because she's in the heavens. That's where she's to be. That's her place. And finally, she will be there. And so some of us have taken that first flight. And boy, is experience, is it bumpy? I wasn't banking on this, but the point is, you didn't crash. It wasn't fatal for you. Something preserved you. Something sustained you, and that was like those eagle's wings, just as you're about to hit the ground, come and took you on the wing and took you back. And that is our experience. And again, you are going to be taught to fly again. Because in that flying, you're taught, you've got to learn to feed and to find your prey, you see. And so what is it in a sense? Because she flies high, she learns and they learn to see and everything. So we're going to see more and more and more of what God reveals to us. And so as we see more and more, we're going to see those needs, we're going to see the remnant, we're going to see the seed that God is going to reap and bring into the church, because the church is seeing it by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And this is why evangelism again goes so wrong, because it's worked by the flesh. They don't see it by the Spirit. Unless God reveals these things, it's never blessed. Because she doesn't fly. And that's the problem. So God gets us to fly Because in that flying, he shows us. He can only show us from the heights. He can't show us down in the valley, you see. When will Christians learn this? Well, let's look at a few scriptures. I know you know these. Let's look at Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40 and verse 29. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. What is that telling us? That is telling us that the church is supernaturally preserved and strengthened. When everybody else is giving up and fainting, look what's happening. And even the young that shouldn't be doing that, yet are. He says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. We need strength. Eagles need strength in which to really fly up high. And they know how to preserve that strength. And they shall mount up, as it says, with wings like eagles. So there's a mounting up into that height and depth. And they shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Which means what the enemy at times tries to throw against the church. And the persecutions and what it goes through. Yet she still stands when she should fall. Why? Because it's all there. Being of the nature of an eagle, she's able to run and not be weary. She's able to walk and not faint because she's supernaturally sustained and kept by the Spirit. Amen? That's what it means. Including yourself as well. And people are going to say, how is it you stand? How is it that everything is against you and you've still got a smile on your face? How is it that you've gone through what you've gone through and you didn't go to a psychiatrist or have antidepressants or whatever? They're going to say it. Because that's how the world's running. What does Psalm 103 say? Psalm 103. And verses 4 and 5, 103 verses 4 and 5, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And so, those eagles, in order for them to sustain, to survive, to function like they do, they have to be renewed. And so what is our understanding of them being renewed? Well, like all birds, or most birds, they go through a period where they molt. And they go broody. A bit off colour for a season. And all that's happening is the old feathers are coming out and new ones are growing. And not only that, but of course we know that the eagle also finds that at the end of the season, its beak has been doing a lot of work, and it needs a new one for its sharpness. And so the beak, the outer layer, the crust of it, falls away, knocks it eventually off, and underneath is a lovely new beak. You see? And so there it's being renewed, re-strengthened, revitalized. Because like all things, you know, it has to go in for service, for a wash down, a change, a new set of plugs, new oil, like the car. It's the same with us. And we call it seasons. And sometimes you're just going through and you just think, oh, I don't know, I just feel a bit down. And I don't know, God seems a million miles away. And, you know, you just don't know. Well, all that's happening is you're just going through in service. Just like the eagles. You need just some fresh new things. You need some new plugs. You need some new oil. And a check over. And once you get the pass, you're off again. It's the same analogy. And so don't fight that. Just let God do it. Just let God bring out those new spiritual feathers, that new spiritual beak. And then you're ready and you'll know and you're off again and take flight. It's seasons that we go through. As it tells us here, He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. There's the tender mercy of God. And He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He knows you need renewing. He knows at times you go through a battering. He knows the powers of darkness that are out trying to destroy you and I. And God knows there's only so much you can take of that. He knows. And so He says, come on, I'm going to bring you in, give you good service. And clean you up. Because you've had a battering. And you know when you've had a battering. You know it. As everyone here who loves the Lord, if you walk with God, you've known when you've had a real battering and you need to go in for a service. And He does it. There's the loving kindness and tender mercies of God. Sometimes you just feel you're just going under. I'm at the end of myself. And God's loving, tender mercy says, come on in. And I'm going to dress you up. I'm going to renew you. Because you're an eagle. And I want you flying. You're no good when you're on the ground. I want you back up in the air. See? The enemy knows how to do it. But God is always one step ahead. Is He not? Hallelujah. And so you see this flying now starting to become a new experience. But friends, it's what you have been trained for all your life with God. God knew you at the point of conception in your mother's womb. And even at that point, you were being trained by the Spirit to fly. That's why you didn't fit in anywhere. That's why you see, you know, things just didn't work out in your life. And so on. That was because the nature of you is an eagle. And you can't mix with sparrows and robins and so forth. Unfortunately, they're your food. That's why you can't mix with them, spiritually speaking. Because eventually they're going to be devoured by you. Did you know that God removes you and separates you because what He puts in you could destroy and devour those around you? Are you aware of that? No, you haven't been. That's why God keeps you blind to that sometimes. The Lord said that to disciples. He said, you don't know what spirit you're of. Calling down fire, destroying them. That's not the love and mercy of God. And that's why God preserves and keeps you, because what's in you would devour your enemy in that way. And the reason being is because God is love. God is love. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing, these spiritual analogies that we can draw? You know, as I was preparing this, I just got so excited. God was opening my eyes to this, you know. I kept thinking, I got silly, I know, and pray for me, but I still at times get worked up over preaching. And I was saying, Lord, I'm going to forget all this. Is this what you're showing me? I'm not going to get this out, you know, unless I write it all down. God said, no, just open your mouth and I'll fill it. And you know, He's so faithful, because everything and more He's revealed to me, and even more coming out now, it's all coming out by the Spirit. Because all He wants me to do is trust Him, you see. It's not in the natural, in the carnal. It can only come by the Holy Spirit, you see. And so you're now starting to fly. And even though it gets a bit rocky, And even though your first flight you thought, well, I made an absolute hash of that. Don't be put off. Don't listen to the devil. You've got those eagle's wings. And the reason you're being attacked is because the devil knows you've got those wings. And he knows that as those wings learn to fly and everything, you are dividing his kingdom. That's why. These eagles that God is raising up are going to divide Satan's stronghold. And that is why he tries to keep us down and he tries to stop us from flying. But nothing will stop this. Nothing's going to stop this because God's on the scene. And God's now restoring. God's reviving. God's empowering. God's enabling. He has determined, what he's determined, what he's decreed, will come to pass. And the church will triumph, and she will, in this last day, go into her rightful place and position, which is in the heavenlies, where she should be. I believe that. I know it. I know it in my own life. I know it in my experience. It burns in my heart, in my spirit, and everything my whole life tells me. It all starts making sense. When I start listening to all of this, it starts making sense in my life. Starts answering those questions. It tells me what I was called from the foundation from. Why? I will never know. Why me? Why you? I will never know. But if we are, and what we are, then let's go forward. We don't have to apologize. God's made no mistake. We go forward as God's army in this last day. Yes, it's going to be a rough ride. Yes, there are going to be times when we look as though we make a right crash landing. But God is there. That is the point. And he's getting us to fly now. The nests have served their purpose. They can't serve it anymore. You cannot rely anymore on the nest. Don't look to the past. Don't crave for the past anymore. Move forward to the next thing.